In this week's parsha, it's well known that the first three sections are linked by the medrash that Rashi quotes. We start with Eishes Yifas Toar, then we move to Bechora and disinheriting a Bechor, and then finally to Ben Soromora. And Chazal draw a link between the three, that someone who takes Eishes Yifas Toar eventually she'll be hated, and will have the succession controversy, and then ultimately that child will turn into a Ben Soromora. That's the way it's presented. And obviously the connection in some level is when you have an unhealthy family atmosphere, it means that there are going to be difficulties with the children themselves, people who grow up experiencing that trauma. But I think that there's actually a much deeper connection between them, particularly between Eishes Yifas Toar and the parsha of Ben Sora Umora. And I'm not going to talk about the stepping stone in between, but I think the two of them actually share something which is very significant. A topic that I think, unfortunately, we don't talk about enough in our community, and that is the nature of what we refer to as Kiddusha, a term that is often bandied about but not always well understood. What exactly does the Ben Sora Mora do wrong? Why is he being killed? Chazal tell us, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that he's Nidon al Shem Sofa. But what exactly is that he's doing now? So he, A, has no respect for the authority of his parents, but B, he is a Zolel Visove. What is Zolel Visove? He's a glutton. Right? He eats excessive quantities of meat and drinks excessive quantities of wine. What exactly is that a violation of? What is he doing wrong there? So Chazal state that it has to be stolen and so on and so forth, but the Ramban says, because he violates the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. He doesn't have any sense of Kedusha. What exactly is the problem with Eishes Yifas Toar? Chazal, as you may be aware, viewed Eishes Yifas Toar as Bidiyeved. They say, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzara. What is wrong? What is wrong with the parsha of Eishes Yifas Toar? To the victors belong the spoils. So the answer is that it's the same lack of Kedusha, that a person has animalistic instincts and desires. And in this particular case, in the context of war, where the typical bounds are usually loosened, he sees this beautiful woman, and he desires her for himself. Right? He has no sense of restraint. He wants this. He's going to take it. So the Torah allowed it, but it left it in a somewhat restricted fashion. It doesn't seem that different than what animals do. When a male lion, when male lions overcome the single lions, chase out and sometimes kill the previous, lions that led the pride, so basically they kill the lions, that's the war, and then they take their women, they often kill the children for other reasons. And this person basically acts like an animal in the context of war. You have to fight war. War is a bad thing, but sometimes it has to be done. But then he sees the Eishes Yifas Toar, and his desires sort of become front and center. And therefore, the Torah requires a restraint of 30 days. The Ramban thinks the pshat should have been v'achar kein tavoi leo v'alta, that this asur tavia with her before, meaning even when the Torah permits it, you have to wait for a month. Chazal state that he can have bia once, and after that, he's not allowed to come near her until after the 30 days have passed. Both of these, Ben Sora Mora and the person who takes this Eishes Yifas Toar, demonstrate a lack of restraint, a lack of kedusha. Now, what exactly is Kedusha? So the very famous Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim talks about Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutar lach Prishus. It means that even when the Torah doesn't prohibit a certain kind of food or a certain kind of sexual activity or speaking in a certain way, nonetheless, as human beings, as people who aspire for Kedusha, so we're obligated to show restraint that not everything that is technically permitted is something that we should do. It's interesting to note, we often talk about, the Rav spoke a lot about, v'halachta bidrachav, that you should follow in God's ways, imitatio dei, to use the fancy Latin phrase. But it's interesting, there's only one mitzvah in the Torah that we are told to do because it is to be like God. And that is, daber kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem, kedoshim to you. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. The quintessential imitatio Dei is Kedusha, is Kedoshim to you. Now, why exactly is that? What does that mean? God doesn't have to show restraint. God doesn't have desires. What exactly is the root of Kedusha? And I would suggest that what Kedusha means is to be godly. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hazayin tells us that there are six things that are said about Bnei Adam. Three of them are like Malachi Ashares, and three of them are like the animals. Three things like Malachi Ashares, Yesh Lahem Das, Kamalachi Ashares, Holchim Bekoma Zukufa Kamalachai Hashares, and finally Medaber Belashon HaKodesh Kamalachai Hashares. That's the ways in which human beings are like angels. And on the other side, we're Ochel V'Shosek Kebehema, we're Parin Ravin Kebehema, and we're Motzi and Rei Kebehema. We eat and drink like animals, so Lel V'Stovei said, we are Parin V'Ravin Kebehema, that's Eishes Yifas Tovar, and more in a moment than Motzi and Rei. We defecate what we eat, we ultimately put out as well. In that way, human beings are like animals. In our parsha, we find twice the story of Muhammad. Once is the opening, and then we find Ki seitzei lamachana loivecha v'nishmarta mikol davara. And in that parsha, we find the warning about two things. Number one is a balkeri, and that fits certainly the issue of sexual desire. War is a place where people lose their humanity, people fighting war, and the Torah emphasizes the importance of Kedusha and Amachane Melchama. So someone who becomes a Balkeri, even though it's not with intent, he has to go outside the Machane. And secondly, the Torah instructs us that when we're leaving ourselves in the Machane Melchama, so it has to be done with Kedusha as well. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech bekerach machanecha, lahatzilcha v'loseis oivecha lachanecha, v'hoyo machanecha kadosh. We have to engage with Kedusha. What does it mean to engage in Kedusha? It means to try to be like the angels, more like the angels and less like the animals. Contemporary Western society, when we talk about its notions of morality and ethics, but I'll talk about morality, has a very, very limited view. The general contemporary ethos is that if I'm not hurting anybody else, it's okay. What's so bad about it? You know, what's so bad about living with someone, not being married, not hurting anybody? You know, don't be a sexual prude. What's wrong? You know, what's so terrible about it? It's not doing any great harm. We, of course, believe in marriage, but what's our term for marriage? Kiddushin. Of course you're not hurting anybody in the process, as a general rule. But it's not a life of sanctity. It's not a life of Kiddusha. Kiddusha means that even when we do those things that we have to do, that we need to do, that are part of the normal human experience, it's done with a sense of restraint. Why? Not because we're hurting anybody. Because we want to be godly. We want to be more like the Malachim. We have values that go beyond care about harming other people and caring for other people. We most certainly do. Those are central values, and sometimes, in certain contexts, our community is very good, and in some ways our community can be very neglectful in terms of some of those issues. But I want to stress that I think that the principle of being godly is the overarching principle of everything that a Ben Torah is supposed to do. Caring for other people is not supposed to stem primarily from a sense of generosity and feeling good and being nice to other people, but rather because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, and it's V'halachta Bidracha. Mahu Chanun, Afatave Chanun. Mahu Menachem Aveilim, Yor Menachem Aveilim. Not because I think it's right, which I do, not because it feels good and it's nice and it makes a better world, which it does, but because the Ribbono Shel commanded us. It's to be godly. And I think that we have to realize when we engage with broader society, and not just people, but more the values, which are the bigger issue, the values that come in from broader society, that we're operating on two different planes. I want to pick one very simple, hopefully not a common example, which, if you want to understand, I think a typical contemporary Western person could not understand. Take the issue of martyrdom. Someone comes up to you and says, worship Avodah Zarah or I'm going to kill you. Or be Boel and Erevah, or I'm going to kill you. You're not hurt. Murder people would understand. But take those two. You're not hurting anybody, so go ahead and do it. In the same way, by the way, as morally odious as we consider it, I think we can understand better the philosophy of suicide bombers than the typical Western, you know, religious suicide bombers than the typical Western person. We obviously regard it as morally, halachically, ethically abhorrent based upon our religious tradition, but I think we do understand from our religious tradition the notion that there are things that are bigger than life and bigger than care and harm. It's usually not doing it to other people, it's usually doing it to ourselves. That's what the idea, notion of dying on Kiddush Hashem is. But we have a sense of Kiddusha, which goes beyond just harming other people. Just because something doesn't hurt somebody doesn't mean for us it's okay. It doesn't, even if it's not hurting somebody, it's not unethical, it's not being like God. I would posit that we often think about self-improvement, especially at this time of the year. In fact, in general, at New Beginnings, people always talk about New Year's resolutions. On the lowest level, lowest cultural level, people talk about becoming healthy, at least positive, worried about their shape of their bodies, not so positive, not a way of thinking. Then perhaps there's a step up where people wish to improve by filling lacunae in their education and the knowledge and so on, which is certainly a better thing, and they see they need to fix this. In the world of the Beis Medrash, in the world of B'nai Torah, we may decide that we need to learn more Torah. We may need to learn halacha about things that we don't know. We may decide that we need to become more medaktik in our nihugim in halacha. Sometimes in Medan L'Makom, unfortunately, often should even more be in Adam L'Chaveira. And that is, in fact, a more noble attempt than just Bein Adam L'Makom. It's Bein Adam L'Chaveira to treat other people differently, especially those closest to us. And that's particularly so because that's one of the hardest things to do. It's easy to adopt the Nuchum and Davening, but the people you live with constantly, to change the way you treat them often means changing your own character. It's not enough, I won't do X anymore, but because you're always having to be careful, you actually have to change who you are. And that's a very important thing. But I would ask the question, with all of those things and all of those changes that are important, do we ever ask ourselves about godliness, about our trying to be, I would say, closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but more like the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do we ever stop and think of ourselves what it means to be like the angels and not so much like the animals? It's not simple. It means walking, always having a sense of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is not, as I said before, part of the dialogue, of the discussion, of the vocabulary of the contemporary society in which we exist. We, again, always gravitate towards the ethical, which is very important. You can't be a Ben Torah if you don't have Derech Eretz, stipulated. But nonetheless, once one has reached that level, not of perfection, but of recognizing the importance of Derech Eretz, do we ever go beyond that? And I don't mean to details of mitzvahs ben adal amakom, but really thinking of what kind of beings are we? And when you say human beings, what kind of beings? Are we more like the Malachi Asharis? Are we more like the animals? I would conclude with a certain thought in this particular issue, which is really what the Shulchan Aruch opens. It tells you a lot, a whole lot, what the Shulchan Aruch opens with in Chelek Arachayim, literally in the first Seif. It's not yet about Netilas Yadayim. It's not yet about Birchas HaShachar, or Kriyashma, or Tefillah, or Shabbos. It opens up talking about the importance of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samad, that we walk always with a sense of the presence of God. I think that our grandparents or great-grandparents, you know, when they lived in Europe, for most of them, or wherever else they came from, in their world, lived with a much greater sense of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the notion of being godly. For many reasons, we don't live in that kind of a world anymore. And that is a tremendous loss. It is a tremendous loss. The Rav spoke about this. The Rav spoke about the Erev Shabbos Jew. Right? How often when Shabbos is coming, we know we have to get ready for Shabbos, and we'll be more medaktik, and we have the right blech, with the right keder, gabi keder, and so on and so forth, and we won't do any malachas. But how many of us sort of walk in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and understand that Shabbos is coming? Not just we have mitzvahs, we have restrictions, we have to get stuff done, but there's something different even about the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I think that that's something really, really, it's a strange thing to say, but we don't talk about God very much. But it's something that maybe that we should. And more than just talking about God, we should try to walk with the sense, walk around our daily lives with a sense of the presence of God. And as an outgrowth of that, we should also walk around aspiring to be more like the Malachi Asharis, holchim bekoma zekufa, and medabrin belashon hakodesh, speaking in an appropriate way, and yesh bohem das, and less like the behemos. Shabbos.